It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. And hello once again. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of this program. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and of course the tech news you can use. Every weekend, we dig around some of the best of the tech, pass it along. We don't dumb it down, but we do try to put it in terms that even we can understand. And of course, you can follow along by getting the Flipboard app on your favorite platform. But if it's got anything to do with technology and we find it interesting, we always assume that other people are going to find it interesting as well. So we share it out right here on this program. And funny thing, there are times when we go, my God, is anybody actually listening? Just this morning, Brenda encounters somebody and he said the name was familiar and he says, oh yeah, you have that show on the weekend on that station.
Your voice sounded so familiar.
But we get that a lot. We don't get a lot of mail, but we do get people we run into say, yeah, I like to listen to your show. I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I like the way you say it. So
that's scary.
Yeah. So Brenda's kind of in the business of fire stuff, and there was a story that came out. Now, this did not affect here Northern California on the Carr wildfire, but it did affect firefighters down a few hundred miles south of us in what's called the Mendocino Complex, which is the largest, in terms of size, fire in California history. Darn near 500,000 acres.
It's probably more like,
well, the
100 miles or 150 miles.
Okay, 100, yeah, but not exactly right. It was close enough that their junk kind of falls on us.
Yeah, had lots of smoke from there.
Almost 500,000 acres of California gone in total, close to 1 million acres all told throughout the state. So it's pretty bad stuff.
Been a busy year.
And, of course, a key component of the firefighting effort, of course, they communicate mostly via two-way radio, but they pass a lot of information through data, and they are heavily reliant on smartphones, as most of us are, these emergency services. Well, the emergency services don't have, like the military, magic, you know, extra special data pipes. They use the commercial data systems. In the case of the Santa Clara Fire Department, they use Verizon. And the word came down all of a sudden in the middle of fighting this fire, passing these maps, these reports, mm-hmm. these pieces of critical information, all of a sudden their data slammed down to like dial-up speed. Yeah.
Very, very slow.
And they were throttled in the middle of needing to pass information along. It was probably on a weekend, too, when there wasn't a living soul to talk about, to talk to about it. But, yes, Verizon had imposed a data cap because the fire department in Santa Clara was using too much data. So my guess is that their computers that monitor the billing automatically throttled them. This is bad stuff when you're trying to get these maps out, which, of course, the GIS maps are very data-intensive things. probably real-time video from various sources. I mean, this wasn't like running a BitTorrent or watching video on YouTube. This was mission-critical information.
Right. A lot of it isn't, well, some of the mapping can be fairly intensive, but...
There was just so much of it.
Yeah, apparently just a lot of use. And some of that mapping stuff, you know, people wanting to see where things are, or the things are posted and the firefighters can go to a website and get the information. That can be very helpful.
So Verizon took a lot of heat for this, as they should have, but this is something that they didn't anticipate. But boy, did they catch a lot of flack.
Well, I can understand them not anticipating something like that, because you don't have to deal with a fire of that magnitude very often.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how long it took them to catch it. Did somebody have to call and complain? Or did somebody say, hey, wait a minute, why is this? You know, why is this happening? And take a look at it and go, oh, that's not a great idea. I suspect that the customer had to call and complain.
Yeah, probably many customers. Verizon has announced they are removing all speed cap restrictions for first responder accounts on Hawaii and the West Coast.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. While both regions deal with natural disasters, according to Verizon Senior Vice President of Public Sector Mike Mayorna.
In the meantime, there were ads showing up on Facebook or something like that here locally that they had free texting and unlimited data for people here in Reading while the fire was going on. So you could text friends, family, and the data to keep up with on things. At least I thought that was local. I didn't really pay that much attention, but I think it was local. So somebody was aware of what was going on. But then when the fire's in your doorstep and you have some control over that sort of thing, then maybe they paid more attention. But the Mendocino complex certainly affected a lot of people, but it wasn't like a large urban area. Yeah. It definitely was an urban area, but it wasn't a large urban area before it got out in the hinterlands in the middle of nowhere.
Media is falling under a lot of scrutiny. And, of course, there's all this complaint about fake news and agendized news. And some bloggers and commentators are facing criticism and even outright shutdown. Now, I'm going to say right here, Alex Jones is not my favorite guy. He's an idiot. He's he's an idiot with a lot of followers. But he promotes a lot of these wild conspiracy theories. And so a lot of his social accounts are being shut down under pressure. And that I object to. Because all of a sudden we start thinking about, well, if there's a voice that we don't agree with, we'll just shut him down. That's dangerous, boys and girls. That is real dangerous. There's been talk about, well, we don't like what Trump tweets, so let's delete his Twitter account and shut him up. Really?
Have you heard
really?
Of the First Amendment people?
Yeah.
And then there's others that basically outlaw, if you will, censorship of that nature.
Yeah. Are irresponsible things said? Yes. Do they need to be held to account? Yes. Let the people hold them to account. Don't pass laws like Ron Y up in Washington to have governmental oversight over everything you post. That's Venezuelan. That's Iranian. That's Russian. Chinese. Take your pick.
Definitely not American.
No, it isn't. So come on.
Yeah, and voice of dissent is good.
Exactly.
That's how you discuss ideas, you know, and share things. No one person has all the answers ever about anything.
Yeah, Ron Wyden of Washington says there should be consequences for platforms that don't remove people like Alex Jones. Who keeps the gatekeepers?
Well, who decides what's right?
Exactly.
Who decides what's wrong?
Who watches the watchers?
You know, there's a number of things I can think of in society that have been swept under the rugs and people knew about it, but it just never got talked about.
Yeah.
And once it came to light, public pressure says that's not right. It never was right. So this is almost the opposite of that. We don't like how you think or what you say, so therefore we're going to silence you.
Yeah.
Ooh,
oh, hello. Hello,
that's
Ayn Rand.
Like Fair, yeah, Ayn Rand.
Fahrenheit 451.
Fahrenheit 451, that's exactly what I was just going to say.
George Orwell.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is not good.
The protagonist's job was to rewrite history as suited the state. Are we not headed there?
Well,
just be.
I don't know if we're headed there. It's just that these are the ideas and the books illustrate the possible outcome of this.
Exactly.
You know, we are people. People are people, and
individuals are smart. Mobs are dumb.
Well, they're somewhat guideless, yeah. I suppose. But anyway, that's not so good.
Yeah. Microsoft Corporation says they have fired 4 employees and they've cut ties with several business partners in Hungary following a report of a federal investigation probing the possibility of bribery related to the company's product sales in that European nation.
Well, there's a new thing going around the internet about this deadly spider, and it's killed people. And I'm like,
your spider sense tingled.
Yes, my spider sense tingled. My BS meter pegged out. Yeah, it's like that something's not right about this story. And sure enough, if you go look on Snopes or whatever they call it, and and who's to know if that's right or not? But in this case, it was bogus, and it's always some very fearful thing.
Exactly.
And that's the first clue right there. Be afraid. Be so afraid. Be very afraid. And you go, oh my gosh, why is this the first I've heard of it? It's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Posted by somebody that you don't know. Who reposted it from somebody you don't know?
Right. And you got to be careful with this stuff because
you have to double check these things.
There are about this fire that we just went through up here. Already the rumor mill cranking out these outrageous stories. About this happened and that happened, and the truth gets so muddied. Wait for, there's cover-ups, of course, and people will believe, and this has been shown time and time again, Russians notwithstanding, people will believe what they're already
inclined
pre-wired to believe.
Yeah, it's the whole thing, it's not very scientific. This is what I believe, so you only see the evidence that supports that, as opposed to looking at it objectively, which is we're human. That this is what we tend to do.
I
place no judgment on that.
I do not believe that a significant number of votes in any election were altered by anything the Russians did. People were, maybe a few, but I don't think it was a huge, scientifically significant number.
Well, apparently,
that the press would have you believe.
Apparently there were other things supposedly going on, so I don't know. But speaking of fake news or misinformation or misleading information or information manipulation, this is an interesting story about how MIT has made an image editing AI that can replace a background in any image.
In other words, you can take a person and put them
anywhere. Mm-hmm. Right. So if they can do that, how long is it before they can change what the person does
exactly
in an image, right?
You want to ruin somebody's reputation, you just take them, say, at the beach, and put them in a room full of kids. Or so. Let's say somebody legitimately goes to a nude beach in France. Somebody takes a picture. Somebody takes that picture and puts that image in a room full of children.
Right. You think of all the evil things people can do. I can't think like that. I never come up with this.
You want to destroy somebody's reputation, you put them seen going into the back door of some sleazy business or doing a drug deal or any number of things. And that's the danger of stuff like Periscope and Facebook Live is staged events. Now, there's no proof that this has happened, but could you imagine staging a police beating of some minority?
Or of anything.
Yeah. And before the truth could get out, because people are predisposed, thanks to media hysteria, people are predisposed to believe that the police are evil and wailing on everybody, right?
Well,
a certain segment of the population.
Yeah, some people believe
that. The media pushes that narrative. You take a little technology and you put a match to the flame.
It'd be interesting to know what
match
someone...
to the gas.
Someone of media stature, like Walter Cronkite, would think of the approaches that we see taken today. I'm sure he would be quite frustrated with that. And it's not that he always told the truth. It's just that people had faith and
Uncle
trust.
Uncle Walter.
Trusted what he said. He could have told you peanut butter is, you know, purple, and you would have believed it, you
and
know?
And that's the word here.
Yeah, that type of thing. But at the same time, I think that he would probably object to the lack of objectivity in some media approaches today that we see. And I'm not just saying that because I believe it's there. I do believe it's there. I've heard it. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, there's another side to this story somewhere. Yeah. So this
the grabber bot.
Yeah, back to
grabber bot 2000.
So they wanted the author of the article would have liked to have called it the grabber bot 2000, but the folks at MIT didn't name it that. They simply call their technique used by its AI assisted imaging editor's name, which is semantic soft segmentation or SSS. Oh, that's not a good choice.
Yeah.
What's in your wallet, right? It's kind of like that. white noise, hiss. I mean, yeah. Oh, man.
So it can break up the image using object recognition and mm-hmm. pattern recognition
yep.
to say, this is what a person should look like. This is the person. Remove them from the image and put them wherever else you want.
And unlike Photoshop, where it requires the user to pick things or provide context, this mm-hmm. does it automatically.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you don't have to trace around an object or zoom in to catch the fine details. The AI figures all of that out. So what I'm wondering is if in Photoshopping with this, if it's going to look more natural from the point of view that it doesn't have those pixely edges. For instance, speaking of fires, there was an image that came out and it was applied to several different fires where these people are looking off in the distance and there's these big flames and
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, this came from this fire. That can't be from two different fires.
Yeah, it's the same.
It's the same image, right? And I'm looking at the flames going, okay, first of all, on a scale of things, that doesn't look right. And second of all, why does the sky, the smoke, and the fire all look so pixely?
Yeah, yeah.
And so where the foreground wasn't, so I smelled a rat there. That has to be a Photoshop thing. But that's how you can – a lot of times you can tell something's Photoshop because it just doesn't have quite the right look. Or they mix up the lighting, and maybe this AI would fix that. But anyway.
We saw an image of an explosion on a lake. And the shadows were in all the wrong places.
Yeah,
there was a boat supposedly blowing up.
Yeah, supposedly blowing up. And it was like,
the shadow was on one side on the boat.
Part of it. And
the smoke column had no shadow at all. And then there was a tree and the shadow was in the other direction.
So apparently the AI does do some edge massaging.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of interesting. How that might get used, various deals. And I'm sure that the intent is to have it be used for either film, the end of the green screen.
Yeah.
Because you can digitally manipulate that anyway, but maybe it doesn't make any difference now. If you have an AI like this, you can take that person and put it on any background you want.
Now, we've already had Fred Astaire in a Pepsi ad. That was a couple of years ago. But we have had deceased actors showing up in movies by putting their mm-hmm. faces onto, but that's an extremely tedious, involved process. This promised to be almost real time. You want a picture of the president skydiving or scuba diving? No problem. It put him into the appropriate background. You want to have your favorite celebrity showing up in a porn film? No problem. Just pushing.
Just, well, and just pay a fee for the licensing of them, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Of their image.
That's already been a thing, is that some actresses have said that their likenesses have been imaged onto, for whatever reason, onto porn star footage, and I'm not and money charged for it.
That's amazing. It's just there's no end of the creativity apparently out there.
Things that you kind of wish you could make up, but unfortunately you can't.
Or things that once seen you can't not see.
Yeah.
You know, you can't unsee, if there is such a word as unsee.
Oh, my. Okay, the climactic battle scene of the greatest sci-fi movie of all times, in my humble opinion, Aliens. When Sigourney Weaver climbs into the cargo robot and goes toe-to-toe with the alien queen, get away from her, you bee. Now, is that a great scene or what? When they're wailing away each other.
Yep, it's good.
The company behind the Kalashnikov rifle, the AK-47, has created a golden robot right out of the movie Aliens at the Army 2018 Forum in Moscow. Kalashnikov Concert says a promising goal of using anthropomorphic complex, in other words, humanoid type, robots is to solve engineering and combat tasks. This is right out of BattleBots, out of MechWarrior, out of all these great things. For those of you who don't know, MechWarrior is a series of games where pilots operate 50-foot-high walking tanks. The reason we don't have 50-foot-high walking tanks is that we still haven't come up with a robot that can actually walk without falling over.
True.
That can walk bipedal.
Humanoid, yeah. Humanoid bipedal.
And we don't have anything to power these things with. Now, the movie Avatar, remember the battle suits in Avatar?
Yes.
Those are pretty cool. But again, we don't have anything yet that will power them. This robot, 13 feet tall, about 4.5 tons, and apparently has been named Igorek. One or more controllers sit behind a tinted bulletproof windows. They can control the claws, which are designed to be able to hold weapons.
Of course.
Yeah.
It really does look like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, this really, the technology isn't quite here. For one thing, they do not show it actually moving. It just has the arms manipulate, and it shows it carrying a person in its arms. But they haven't solved it. It looks a little like ED-209 to me.
Yeah, in the Star Wars ones where they have those two leg things, and all you got to do is trip them up, basically.
Yeah.
And the thing fell flat on its face.
Yeah, you can be defeated by 3-foot-high furry creatures.
Yes, exactly, in a stick.
Yeah, this is cool. You have 15 seconds to comply. Great scene from RoboCop there.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of very much reminds you of that. I think somebody had a lot of fun developing this.
Yeah.
And fun is the word here.
Well, these things exist. Now, the MechWarrior series is actually set in like 2,000 years from now or something. It may take that long to get anthropomorphic robots that can walk around on their own and have some means of powering them. The robots in MechWarrior have fusion plants built into them, which, of course, when things go wrong, they tend to go spectacularly wrong.
Yeah. That's half the fun of watching that.
I think the mech bots, the battle bots in Avatar.
Rim? Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Pacific Rim is a whole other level of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
And we haven't been to see the second one
yet. Apparently is a little lackluster. But who doesn't like massive rock'em sock'em robots?
And Japanese girls with pink hair.
I guess. I don't know.
It's a thing.
It's pop culture stuff.
Trust me, it's a thing.
Okay.
On our next segment, Alan Belangi joins us with his take on tech news you can use. You are listening to Boomer Tech Radio. It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Reading sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. Fresh air and new lasting friendships are hard to come by these days. Bikers Against Child Abuse will be escaping the valley for a weekend to ride through the forests near Shasta Lake, and you're invited. Every child deserves a great childhood, and by coming together, we can help prevent and end child abuse. Enjoy a weekend of fun by joining Bikers Against Child Abuse September 7th through the 9th at Lakeshore Inn and RV. The Shasta County Summer Campout will include overnight camping with cabins, a live band, and the scenic Shasta County ride, complete with a barbecue dinner. Festivities begin Friday with a meet and greet. Then, on Saturday, enjoy a ride. Meet up at 9:30, kickstands up at 10, arrive back around 2, and then the party begins. You won't want to miss the Bikers Against Child Abuse 3-day campout the weekend of September 8th. For more information, contact Bikers Against Child Abuse or call Terminator at 209-9473.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneville. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi. Here with me now on the Skype line is my son, Alan. And welcome back, Alan.
Howdy. How you doing?
Not bad. Every week, Alan brings us tech headlines, so I don't have to think quite as much about what I'm doing with this show. He finds a lot of stuff that I miss going through, because every week there's just a lot of tech news. And
there is a lot.
Quite a bit, and Alan draws from several different sources. Let's lead off. Now, heads-up displays have been a thing in fighter jets, and there's been attempts to put head-up displays in cars. Mercedes-Benz now taking a different approach, correct?
Yeah, so they're actually installing a type of extra HD headlights in some of their newer cars. It's kind of a preliminary kind of idea. It's hard to say whether or not they'll actually get full approval to put this on like real cars. But they're actually having like a array of LEDs up in the front that can display messages on the road in front of you. Like either symbols or directions or all sorts of different things. Again, on the road in front of you while you're driving.
So rather than projecting onto your windshield, which is what a head-up display would do, it's actually projecting out onto... And
the ground.
Under the ground. So if you're on black asphalt, that's going to be one thing. If you're on lighter colored concrete, that's going to be another thing. And if it's an uneven surface, I don't know. I got a lot of questions about this tech.
Sure. I mean, it's going to have some limited use. Obviously it really only works at night, which then the concrete thing probably not going to be too bad. It has really fairly focused, LED lights when it does it. So you're not going to have a lot of diffusion or whatever. Like, it's not going to spread the light out too bad. It'll be fairly easy to see, even if you were, for some reason, driving on concrete at a high speed. You'd still be able to make it out pretty well. But, you know, there's plenty of possible issues about distracted driving or whatever.
Yeah.
But, another thing is, well, pretty much anybody around could see whatever is displayed on the ground in front of you. But
this sounds like a hackable system, you know.
Yeah, you can play some movies on there when driving a car. But it has the idea of being cool, for one, and another, to you don't have to look down or over at a different display to see, like, a okay, turn here symbol. While driving around. It's idea. It unfortunately only works at night, like I said earlier. But
Cadillac actually came out with it. It is now not happening. They had an IR sensor that was supposed to pick up deer or other things and flash a warning, a big circle on your screen. Unfortunately, with technology like this, it's easy to, if it doesn't see something and you hit the deer, is the company now liable? So I think they quietly dropped it.
Yeah. It's usefulness and reliability are two big things that need to be factored in before you want to put anything into mass production.
All righty. So, spending campaign funds on things one ought not to has been in the news lately. Of course, we have heard about the president's troubles. Also, a well-known California congressman apparently putting donations, campaign funds, into questionable things. But in this case, something that actually has a tech connection.
So Congressman Duncan Hunter is in trouble for charging up over about $250,000 in things that he was almost certainly not related to his election campaign. But included in that is about $1,300 of Steam charges. And Steam's a digital platform for video game distribution.
I know, because I use it.
Right. And so he claims that his son somehow got a hold of his, like, credit card, which is somehow linked to his campaign finances. But $1,300 is an awful lot of money to be spending on games.
That's a lot of downloadable content. That's a lot of DLC.
Yeah, like, Well, you're really burning through those $50 games pretty darn quick to spend $1,300, especially, you know, it was over the course of a number of weeks, and so not really paying too close of attention of, you know, who's spending what. But those are one of the things that will be brought up in court when he's charged with all of these
expenses. Yeah, because the
average
game is first line game is between $49 and $79 through services, whether you buy them over the counter or through Steam, and then of course you have expansion packs. But $1,300, that's an awful lot of gaming. I mean, I wouldn't mind having $1,300 to spend on some games through Steam. That'd be kind of sweet.
Apparently, all you need to do is run for office, and you'll just get it.
Steam is nice. If you know, it used to be you had to go down to the store, pick up the big box, which had a little bitty disc inside. And in the days before CDs really got going, you dug out a half a dozen floppies and ran them through your machine. CDs and DVDs made it a little better. Gaming consoles, of course, the game is loaded onto a cartridge. Now most everything is coming to us via the internet, downloads, even major games. What's this about Linux-based operating systems and Windows games? The two usually don't have a lot in common.
No. So Steam, it actually developed its own operating system to be used instead of
Steam
Windows.
OS, yeah.
Yeah. So they designed it specifically for their Steam Box. It was their attempt at kind of like trying to make a computer-based console of sorts.
It was not a commercial success.
Not really. I mean, you know, they're still chugging away at it, but they've also have the operating system available to anybody who wants it. And one of the big problems with it, though, is that it was Linux-based, not Windows-based. Now, Linux is another, you know, operating OS choice, like how you have a choice between Mac or Windows. Linux is another one, which is open source, so anybody can look at the code and make any changes they want to it or whatnot and see how it works, which Apple and Microsoft would almost certainly never release. But anyway, the big problem with running any sort of games on a Linux platform is that they wouldn't run. They're designed and made specifically to run on Windows because generally, they're the easiest thing to make.
Right. Usually, you would have to do like a virtual machine running inside Linux, which, if you don't know what you're doing, isn't going to happen.
No, it's going to be a huge resource hog. The game makers also generally make a lot of the games for Mac, too, just because there's enough of a market to bother making a version for Macintosh. But anyway, Steam announced recently that they somehow, without a lot of specifics, are going to be able to run basically everything in their library, which is pretty much all PC games out there, on their OS, on their Linux-based OS, which is a pretty big deal for this particular sector of the market, because that would, if it runs well and runs properly, that completely removes the need for Windows in order to run pretty much any game out there.
Now, is this similar to, I know that Steam was trying to have the game, instead of loading onto your computer and running there, would actually run on a high-powered machine at a server farm, and then you got the video, and of course, if you had a good connection, you could make it work. Is this similar to that?
No.
Oh, okay.
They said it will be running on your computer.
Ah, okay.
So, not a lot of details come out for how it's going to be doing this, but they said it's going to be coming soon. But it's an unusual and unexpected development for cutting Microsoft out of the loop, more or less, which would allow them a lot more freedom to develop and grow their own operating system.
Well, Microsoft for a while was kind of trying to muscle into, of course you've got the Xbox and all that, but for their PC games, they were actually making it difficult for third-party developers to, in a timely way, you know, all that would have to happen is Windows 10 comes up with one of those innumerable updates, and suddenly all of your download content doesn't work because it isn't Microsoft compatible, which which gave a lot of people hives at the thought of. Just buy a Microsoft game. Well, some of your titles suck, buddy. All right, well, that's interesting. Steam is an interesting force, and if you do like games, in some cases you can try before you buy. There's a plethora of old legacy games that run on very old platforms up on Steam. So if you've got an older machine and maybe you want to play some of those old classics, this is certainly a way to find it, is on that platform. The prices aren't really all that bad.
No, though, you'll get them for about what you'd find in a store, maybe a little less.
Yeah, because they don't have to do the packaging and shipping and all that. A big market segment and growing on the Internet of Things is the doorbell camera, and it's kind of convenient because even when you're not home, somebody comes up, knocks on the door, you can make it sound as if you are home, or it will note when the UPS guy comes by or whatever. So what could possibly go wrong?
So one of the big problems that a lot of police are having with these doorbell cameras is sometimes people will, you know, record somebody that's on their porch and then immediately post it to social media, and then people will, you know, try to find this person or, you know, seek revenge or whatever before there is any sort of investigation or even reporting to the police.
Okay, so maybe a porch pirate runs up and grabs your package, allegedly, and some people may want to take the law into their own hands?
Right, and so they're circumventing the police progress in it, or people will get upset because there's no, you know, seeming progress, but it's not actually ever been reported to the police. Or people will get mad and try to, like, hunt down these people when they've already been arrested because they don't, you know, exactly tell the world every time they make an arrest.
Right.
But, you know, there's plenty of good from these cameras on your porch, too, because they give plenty of videos or pictures in order to more easily identify suspects. So they've been a good boon, but also been a lot of annoyance to the police as well.
Yeah. There are questions about privacy, and what if somebody gets hold of your video stream and uses it? Oh, okay, well, this is, and just by being able to do some comparisons with Google Earth shots, say, oh, this home is in this location, let's go there. So that can be...
yeah. It'd be pretty easy to figure out where it is after you've hacked into it, and then you can get a sense of when the house is empty. And if you're already into it, you could very easily turn it off or cause a loop or something like that.
Now, when it comes to news, of course, fake news has become such a... Fake news is anything that you don't actually agree with. Apparently.
More or less,
It's easy to just say, that's fake. There are organizations that do some fact-check, and some of those do have a little bit of a political slant. Mostly, though, throughout history, information distribution has depended on, and not always successfully, on people having what I can politely call a BS meter, that if something just doesn't quite seem plausible, an intelligent person will say, wait a minute, this doesn't quite ring true. I want to know more before I take action. Other people will say, well, this must be the truth because I believe that the government is corrupt, or that there's Lemurians living in caves under the town, and this is the absolute proof I need.
Confirmation bias.
Yes.
Confirming something that you think is right.
There we go. So that's the core of so-called fake news, that people are more likely to fall for something that they already believe in the first place. people are that way, but systems on social networks are working against that. Of course, my question on these is, who watches the watchers?
Well, to help along with that, the University of Michigan and the University of Amsterdam use these natural language processing AI routines to, like, look through articles and try to deem whether they're fake or not. But one of the issues they were running into with testing this was that they didn't have enough things to compare real news to fake news. So what they did was they took a couple of real news stories and kind of crowdsourced out asking people to make fake versions of these stories. Just changing certain things about them or telling them from a different angle, a skewed angle. And then they fed them all back into the machine. And it was not too bad at figuring out which ones were the fake news stories and which ones were the right ones. It got it right about, I got it wrong about 24% of the time, as opposed to about 30% of the time for people. So people were making mistakes figuring out which one was true, which one wasn't, more often than the robots were, or
so
the machines were.
Baloney has a pattern, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so it would look at, how it was worded or, specific words that are usually used for slanted stories or things that just seem a little incredible. They were able to make those into actual values that this algorithm was able to detect, and it did it better than people, more or less. It still got plenty of room to grow. 24% of the time getting wrong is not great, but and being better at people is not a bad thing either.
Yeah. Now, the thing, of course, that comes to mind is that Facebook has said we're going to put in better filters to keep the nasty Russians out and this and that. But if you're writing a filter, your bias reflects into that filter. It's never completely neutral. So
it's really hard to.
Who keeps the gatekeepers is always my question on these things. And does the people who are setting up these filters in Facebook and Instagram and all that, do they have a certain bias or agenda that will affect the outcome? It's sort of the classic, I think it's one of the paradoxes that you cannot observe an event without having an effect on the event. And I don't know if that's Schrodinger's or something. Anyway, it's kind of a physics / philosophy mashup, and I'm sure that I'm going to get corrected on that. Moving right along. Now,
I know what you're talking about. I know that what you're talking about. I just can't think of what
it's
called.
It's got a specific name, but anyway, that you cannot the uncertainty principle.
That sounds right.
Yeah, you cannot, and it's a it's a quantum physics thing that you cannot know.
You can't observe a quark or something like that without affecting the quark. So by observing it, you change what it does.
You cannot measure a particle without altering its characteristics. There we go. When utilities first started installing so-called smart meters, the consternation was amazing. There were accusations that the radiation from the meters would cause an instant rise in cancer. There were concerns that the
radiation?
Yes, the radio, which is exactly the same as, in fact, less powerful than what comes out of your smartphone. Among the many accusations was that the RF radiation from a smart meter was harmful to people. That accusation has actually surfaced on the internet a number of times. Other people said that, well, this is going to give the government the power to shut down your power whenever they feel like it, or turn off your air conditioning or do any number of horrible things.
I mean, they could have done that before if they really wanted to. So.
Right. Well, supposedly this would enable them to penalize. Now, a lot of utility companies are going to so-called time-of-use billing. In other words, if power is in short supply and you've got the air conditioner cranked down to 68 degrees, you're going to be billed at a slightly higher rate, and that's one of the things that smart meters do. But people don't like it when these entities are poking around in their business. But I guess the courts now have stepped in and said that the government can't just poke around in, on your smart meter history. Is that right?
Yeah, so the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit held that data from these smart meter devices would give specific details about what's happening inside of a house because it reports usage between the, depending on the meter, about every 5, 15, or 30 minutes, which could give you enough detailed information about what's going on inside the house, which the government is not allowed to know without a physical search, which is protected against by the Fourth Amendment, reasonable search and seizure.
I think I heard about this. It's along the same lines as the police helicopter with its FLIR camera picking up a house that is radiating a lot of heat. And the reason, of course, is the case I'm thinking of, it was an indoor pot grow. And they were at drawing a huge amount of power. Well, you don't need a smart meter to figure out what's going on, but because the records can still be subpoenaed, if your house is drawing 10 times the amount of power of the surrounding houses, it might cause a little curiosity. Now, there are now the police have to have a probable cause before they can access that information. So this kind of is in line with that probable cause before they law enforcement can poke around in your house. And
yeah, it's definitely kind of a gray area because it seemed like it was okay when you saw energy usages in monthly segments. Like you use this amount of energy in this month and you use that amount of energy in that month. There's some sort of line somewhere along the line that the court ruled that knowing minute by minute or, a couple minutes by couple minutes energy usage was enough invasion of privacy to warrant protection against.
Ah, very good. Just about out of time, we have time for one more. Apple, which supposedly is always looking out for us, and Facebook, which nobody trusts. The Apple Store has banned a Facebook app for an interesting reason.
So the Onavo Protect app from the App Store was booted off because it was a VPN service facilitated by Facebook to help protect your information. And it got booted off because it was collecting your information and keeping it.
Said with extreme irony.
So, I mean, it did protect your information in a sense. It wasn't going elsewhere. It was just going to Facebook.
Mm. I said this was the last one, but we've got about 30 seconds. Real quick, a lot of people are reluctant to plunk down $300 plus on an Xbox. Now Microsoft says we're going to let you rent one.
They're working on it. There's rumors about you being able to like go and rent an Xbox with all of its like online and everything capabilities on a month-by-month basis. Kind of like how you did at Blockbuster, but now that Blockbusters are gone, you don't really have that choice. You'd have to spend $300 on the console, so they want people to be able to try it rather than have to spend so much at one time.
I know a lot of smart TVs are trying to get into the rental game business. We'll see how that works. All the time for this segment. Alan, thank you very much. Always great to hear from you. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Alan Belongi, and we'll be back with Brenda right after the top of the hour news.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Winds have died down, but forecasters say rain remains a threat on some Hawaiian islands as Tropical Storm Lane churns in the central Pacific. NOAA meteorologist Steve Goldstein says the effects of Lane likely to linger.
Even after Lane moves off, a wet weather pattern is likely to hold through the first half of next week across the Hawaiian Islands before a drying trend finally fills in towards the end of the week.
National Weather Service said as much as 10 more inches of rain could fall today as the storm remains about 110 miles south of Honolulu. Maui had 12 inches of rain in the last 24 hours. Vice President Mike Pence says Democrats have turned the Senate's role providing advice and consent into obstruct and oppose when it comes to President Trump's judicial nominees.
The truth is, if we lived in a more respectful time, Judge Kavanaugh would be overwhelmingly confirmed by the United States Senate.
Pence's comments to a group of Republican lawyers yesterday came as all 10 Democratic members of the Senate Judiciary Committee called for a delay of Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings, citing, quote, the possibility of criminal wrongdoing by the president and questioning Kavanaugh's views on executive power. Pence noted former Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia was approved 98-0, and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg received 96 votes. Meanwhile, speaking at the Ohio Republican State Dinner in Columbus last night, the president says he doesn't see Democrats making very many gains in the midterms in November.
You know, it's interesting. We have the strongest economy in the history of our nation. And I hear about a blue wave. I say, why is there a blue wave? We are doing better now with jobs. Today, there are more people working than at any time ever in the history of our country. So I don't think there's going to be a blue wave. I hope there's a red wave.
More news, more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
China is blasting President Trump for accusing Beijing of a lack of support in nuclear talks with North Korea.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had planned to travel to North Korea this coming week, but President Trump has told him to delay the trip, citing a lack of progress in the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. In a series of tweets, he pointed at China, saying Beijing isn't helping the process as it once was, attributing that to the intensifying trade dispute between the two countries, or as he puts it, his much tougher trading stance. China's foreign ministry says it's seriously concerned about the statement, which it says violates basic facts and is irresponsible. Meanwhile, South Korea calls Trump's decision unfortunate. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Influential British dancer, choreographer, and mime artist Lindsay Kemp, known for tutoring singers like David Bowie and Kate Bush, has died. He was 80. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Proposed new education department regulations could help for-profit colleges.
The for-profit colleges are familiar by name and advertising. DeVry University, University of Phoenix, the once omnipresent ITT Technical Institute, the Trump Education Department has proposed to revoke an Obama regulation that had cut federal funding for the for-profit college programs. A second current proposal would tighten restrictions on another Obama-era rule dubbed the borrower's defense for students who claimed fraud as a basis to get their loans erased. The new approach is touted to better protect students from misconduct while protecting the for-profit colleges from false accusations and from being targeted because of their tax status. George Bonzani, Washington.
A change of heart at Tesla. CEO Elon Musk says the company will remain public after all, following an August 7th tweet of his that he said he was considering taking the company private. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
Welcome back. This is Hour 2 of Boomer Tech Radio, and Bob Belongi here.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
And, of course, we do Analog Living in a Digital World. This program brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers, our community, 5756 F West Side Road. We just went and saw them today because they did a service on our Prius, and they did us good.
50,000-mile required service, and quite possibly did us a bigger favor than I had realized, because the great thing about Advanced Automotive is if there is a significant problem with your vehicle, they will let you know.
Yeah.
And in this case, they did so.
Yeah.
And I had to go take care of that. And in this case, it needed new tires desperately. The ones we were driving around on were decidedly...
They were a hazard.
Pointedly hazardous, yes, which you could not easily see. But I knew we were going to have to get new tires on it soon, but got forced into it. So that's service, man. I'm telling you. And they didn't just keep their mouth shut about it and say, oh, well, that's not our problem.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it was only brought in for this certain thing, and this is all the customer wants done, and that's it. No, they said, this is an unsafe condition for your car. And that's the great thing about Advanced Automotive is that they are very concerned about their customers' safety. And, if you think about it, driving a car down the road is driving a lethal weapon of sorts.
You're handling 4,000-plus pounds of moving metal.
Well, maybe the Prius doesn't weigh that much, but still, well, considering it has batteries, it might. I don't think it weighs that much. But but still, if something happens and you lose control, you can smack into other people, either pedestrians or other vehicles. So, we have to take the mechanical condition of the vehicle into account for sure.
Yeah, and these things can happen very suddenly.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to necessarily be negligence on the operator's part. Witness the fire that we just went through, caused by a mechanical fail of a tire.
Yep.
And you don't see these things coming unless you get out there and who gets out of there before you get in the car, does a complete walk around like a pilot does for an airplane. Who does that? I imagine there are people who do.
We're supposed to at work, because you never know who drove it last.
Right.
It's funny. I pilots do this with airplanes. They have a checklist, pre-flight check that they have to go through. I think the biggest thing that I ever notice and kind of keep tabs on is, does it appear to be leaking any fluids?
Yeah.
I mean, we've discovered several problems with the Jeep because it leaks stuff all over the carport floor.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so what is that?
It doesn't leak. It marks its spot.
Yeah, but... more like that. So a couple things have had to be fixed in it, and they were tough to find, both of them. I look at tires because who wants to drive down the street with low tire pressure and have have a flat and not know it, because some things you pick up in the tire and it's a slow leak. But anyway.
Sometimes the fails are very subtle, though.
Technology in the cars, though, these days are pretty slick. If you have tire monitoring, tire pressure monitoring gizmos in the stem of your tires, that's pretty cool. That has actually helped me several times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you have a low tire. Okay, find a good place to park because you may have to be changing tires here.
Yeah.
And let's go for it. Now, the one time on the Yukon, though, that the tire just blew and that was it. No warning.
Yeah.
sidewall went out.
Catastrophic failure.
Catastrophic failure, yep. That made life exciting.
We've talked a bit on this show about augmented reality being the next big thing in both industry and entertainment, along with virtual reality. The difference being, of course, virtual reality, you create a complete world that only exists within the computer, and you immerse yourself in it, usually via a headset or maybe wraparound screens. Virtual reality is used for not just entertainment, but in one instance that we have witnessed, training firefighters in realistic scenarios in a very elaborate surround. We weren't even allowed to walk into the thing. We just looked at it from the outside.
That was high tech at the time.
And this was some years ago. But the individual is surrounded by screens and has to make decisions on how they're going to approach a wildfire.
It's a very crude holodeck of sorts, Star Trek holodeck of sorts, based on the latest, greatest technology at the time, and even by today's standards, is now archaic.
Hopelessly obsolete.
Yeah, it is quite obsolete.
I can see these VR goggles being used as VR-type scenarios being used with headsets to train, say, the pilots who have to drop the retardant.
Right.
Just as fighter pilots go through.
So I was going to say, there are flight simulators that have a lot of VR with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
that would be a fun game, dropping retardant. Of course, the retardant drop is where the lead plane says to put it. But
right.
That would be an interesting simulator to fly.
Yeah, it would be. And then
or bucket drops?
Have the aircraft be able to turn around and then see where they put it in the simulation. Bucket drops are kind of interesting.
Somebody's working on that, I'm sure.
Some of the helicopters that drop water, they actually have a bubble canopy out the pilot
right.
door, so they can actually kind of lean over and look down and see what's going on. And a lot of those ships are normally used for helicopter logging for the same reason, that have to be able to keep an eye on the payload. In this case, in fire, the payload is water or retardant.
A big helicopter, bucket.
Yeah, a really big bucket or a big tank. If it's like a Sikorsky sky crane, they have a belly tank they put on the bird. But VR of a sort has been used a lot in flight simulators already. In fact, there's even video games, that have that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly VR. But some augmented reality things would be interesting, too, because if you had a screen where you're projecting the view from the flight deck as you come into certain airports or what have you, and then you use some kind of augmented reality on top of that,
right.
And that may even come into play for pilots in the future for real. And they say, well, how come you don't just fly the plane automatically? Well, that's sort of like having a driverless car. It's not quite ready for prime time that way. Tell that to Captain Sully, who dumped the plane in the river and saved a whole bunch of lives.
The pilot isn't there for normal operations.
Nope.
Because a computer can handle the normal operations. The pilot is there for abnormal operations.
Exactly, and to make sure that everything is going normally.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, having sat on the flight deck of commercial airliners in other times in my career, the plane, basically, you get about 5,000 feet off the ground, and they put it on autopilot. It's hands off until you're about 5,000 feet off the ground on the other end.
Yeah.
And they might make little adjustments because of the wind or something like that. But for the most part, it's hands off after that.
Yeah.
It flies by itself.
But they're there if things go wrong. So back to this augmented reality, I foresee a time when, like you get the 3D glasses going into the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I see sporting events where they hand you the thin, light pair of pretty much disposable glasses. And when you put them on, you're looking at the field, but you can touch a button on a side and it'll give you the player numbers. Probably with some advertisements.
Augmented statistics.
Exactly.
You look at the field, it's like that stuff they put on television now where you can see, the information about how many yards and where the yard markers are, the lines are, and all that kind of stuff, and have that statistical information. Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. I mean, and how long before movies are similar in some respects? How long before they standardize that stuff so that you can take your own equipment? Mm-hmm. Let's say you wear prescription glasses. Well, how long before they can have these that work with prescription glasses, or that those are your glasses? That's just the feature built in. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities. If I'm sitting here thinking of this stuff, somebody is already working on it.
Most movies now that you get streaming, you can get additional information.
Right.
And I forget what they call it on Netflix.
It's on your tablet or whatever.
Yeah.
Synced.
Well, no,
it synced in?
Or you can put it on when you're watching on your big
screen.
TV.
Yeah. Oh,
you can
overlay.
Have the little, it's like pop-up video. Little. It mentions who's in the scene,
like,
what the music is playing.
Yeah, picture-in-picture kind of stuff.
If you're really a movie nut and you want to know this stuff, trivia.
Well, that's like I sit here with my tablet in a movie and go, where is this
Magic
film?
Magic view,
You know, I look it up and it's like, oh, it was filmed here or there.
What
about this actor that we've seen in a couple things and it's just kind of coming to the surface of our brain? What have they done? Oh, that's right. Or who is that? Ah, yeah, that's right. That's what they've been in. We've seen them somewhere else before.
We're actually rewatching the whole Marvel series because we went to go see Infinity War. And I'm a pretty avid follower of the series, and I'm scratching, okay, where did this person come into the storyline? What thing happened six movies back that led to this individual?
Right. Well, and we haven't even seen Black Panther yet, and that's definitely an Infinity War. So
you have to,
how many years has it been? A decade?
2008 was the original Iron Man.
Yeah.
And the special effects difference between Iron Man 2008 and Infinity War 2018 is like...
But
the credits have gotten three times longer.
But what's cool about that, so like Iron Man's suit, Tony Stark's suit, they can play that increase in technology, you know, the special effects. They can say, well, a new and improved suit, right?
Because there's
actually been a timeline in the whole film series anyway. But Star Wars was a really good example of that, where you go back and watch the very first Star Wars, which is, what, Episode 3 or something like that they call it now.
The 1976 Star Wars.
Which was like, whoa, look at those awesome special effects when back in 1976.
And the only computers involved in that were the ones that steered the cameras around the model in a controlled fashion.
Right.
But all the spaceships
were traditional built. And models and the other special effects were traditional methods of the time. But it just was so awesome because they had all this action, right? But you watch the difference between that and then two episodes later, which is, what, 6 or 8 years?
Yeah.
Something like that over that span. And you just go, whoa, the huge increase then. But anyway, it's fun to see technology in movies and that, both science fiction as well as what we see. So that's real world stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
But with greater computing power and greater ability to create virtual worlds comes greater power to do stupid things. And here comes our story. An 18-year-old in Indiana has apparently been charged with attempting to intimidate his school by posting a video of himself shooting individuals in the hallway. The problem? The people were zombies. The video apparently was him enjoying a new augmented reality video game. In the video, Sean Small of Scottsburg was evidently shooting the faux zombies, which aren't intended to be one-to-one analogs for real people. He captioned the video, "Finally something better than Pokemon Go." Video was created using The Walking Dead, Our World. It's an adaption of the popular TV show. The game plays very similarly to Pokemon Go, the top-down GPS world map. You can target on-screen beasties, and you are looking at your surroundings with these zombies overlaid on them, and you blast away at them. Now, you're not walking around in the real world with any sort of gun in your hand. You're just holding up a screen on your phone. However, the scenery was enough.
Poor choice of background.
School officials, once they were told about the video, did not take the idea kindly. And he was arrested and charged with intimidation. How is it? You know, this is a kid making a really stupid mistake.
Well,
and I'm hoping it doesn't destroy the rest of his life.
I don't know if mistake is the word I would use. It's exhibiting extremely poor Very poor judgment.
Very poor taste.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not thinking this through, which, you know, when you're a teenager, that's what you do. You just think, oh, wouldn't this be cool? Ha ha, it's very funny. And it's like not understanding the larger message, picture, difference of interpretation. And it, probably nobody would care if he was shooting zombies in some other kind of venue.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
in a purely synthetic world.
Synthetic world, exactly. But to put it actually in your school. So is this is
that was a violation of common sense.
Right, yeah, there you go.
Which isn't common.
Are they going to have to watch this kid that he would become a real active shooter? Oh, somebody will probably hire him because he thought that he did a good job in the... In designing this thing, you know, there's just some people that don't get it. So next time, or if you're even thinking about doing this, just don't go out and film something in the redwood trees or something, you know. Do some kind of neutral background.
We have talked about, of course, on this show several times, and Brenda and I have talked about this. You turn on the radio or the TV or bring up the videos on YouTube, and it's bad. Bad, bad, worse, horrible. Many
evil.
In the connected world, there are more ways than ever to discover news stories. It's just a shame that so many of them are bad. War, global warming, economic problems. It's no wonder that a whole generation has said we're not going to live anyway.
Right.
So let's just. Go berserk.
The whole be afraid, be very afraid of all this stuff, and everything's put in a negative light, drives me nuts. This is why I don't listen to a lot of news anymore, because, you know, in my everyday experience, you see some of that, but there's a lot of really good things that happen, too, or a lot of positive things, or it's like environmental degradation. It's not all bad. No, I don't mean that environmental degradation isn't bad. What I mean is that environmental news... There are some success stories of cleaning things up or improving the environment.
Exactly. And Toffler, in the classic book, Future Shock, which
I get a little passionate
about
that.
So many years ago.
Not Future Shock. I get passionate about silly stories or bias stories.
In the book Future Shock, it was predicted our brains weren't wired to handle this amount of information dumped on us every single day. And... there are experts who say this is maybe why people are going
a
little bit nuts.
Yeah, just the driving people cuckoo. And why antidepressants are so popular and this sort of thing is because the perception is that the world is not so good. So, you know, like us, I'm just tired of hearing this because I don't believe that that's all the news there is in the world. It's like if it bleeds, it leads, right, is the mantra.
As a recovering journalist, I can tell you that is true.
Yeah, because it's, you know, sex, lies, and videotapes. It's all just... so attractive, because who doesn't like really juicy gossip?
Salacious.
Yes, because we're humans, and a little bit of, you know, that's just juicy stuff. But
the stuff I do isn't so bad, because look what that person did.
That's right, exactly. And no thanks.
There is hope.
There is hope, because, I mean, even Google has recognized this, right? So with Google's assistant... you can say, tell me something good.
Donk, donk.
I don't sing, and that wasn't too bad for me.
Yeah.
it brings up stories about all kinds of things that are good news.
Examples of positive stories include backyard beekeepers in Detroit boosting the falling bee population while improving the local population. And a program that uses...
the bee population.
Yeah, the bee population.
Not the people population.
Yeah. While improving local economy.
Just to be clear about that.
A program that uses video games to get more people involved in city planning. SimCity is a classic. It was presented in a lot of schools.
Isn't Minecraft got some of that as well?
Yeah, it does. More than half Americans say bad news causes them stress, anxiety, fatigue, sleep loss. 1 in 10 people checks the news every hour, and 20% constantly look at their media feeds.
That's terrible. You need to get a life.
Yeah.
Some interests.
Yeah.
Something that distracts you. I mean, that's a part of recreation, and like read The Hobbit or something, you know, that's not even about a real world, but it transports you elsewhere.
We're working on a solution for that, Brenda and I. We're not ready to talk about it yet, but we're working on
creating
an escape.
Yes, creating escapes, visual escapes.
This one may prove interesting about the satellite being launched in a mission to map Earth's winds. Winds drive our weather, as Brenda will be the first to tell you.
Well,
the sun drives our weather. But the sun drives winds, and winds drive.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is important. So you go, well, how come that's important? You know, really, the weather balloons only tell us part of what's going on. We know that the atmosphere is far more complex in structure than our weather balloons can tell us, because we have other satellites that have looked at things. There's also a real move in the weather business to have satellites report back things like atmospheric soundings, which is what we use weather balloons for now. But the network is very it's quite open. The sampling sites are not close together, but with a satellite you can sample a lot more area, get a lot more detail. They have problems. They still can't compare to putting up weather balloons, but this is a similar type thing. Over the oceans, we have a lot of trouble getting data, so this is a wonderful solution to be able to pull in data from areas where people don't live. 70% of the planet's surface is water, and people don't live there, is the general rule. You know, you got a few spots like Hawaii, Guam, you know, Puerto Rico, and other Marshall Islands. You know, you name it, out there in the middle of nowhere. But that's not sufficient to create a large-scale picture of what's going on.
So this new satellite called Aeolus, after the guardian of wind in Greek mythology, has a single instrument on board, a Doppler wind LIDAR. Now, LIDAR is
big stuff
like
in weather
radar
now,
only using laser beams.
Correct.
The idea here is that it will
detail.
Bounce. Now, and this isn't a laser that's going to blow through a building or zap people on the ground. It's really not very powerful. And it's an extremely short duration pulse, and what it bounces off of smoke particles, dust, stuff in the atmosphere, and apparently a series of pulses, and then it tracks where those particles are moving, and by measuring the Doppler shift of the moving objects, actually can figure out what the wind is doing at various altitudes. That's pretty cool.
Yep. And we're probably going to learn about structures in the atmosphere that we didn't really know that much detail about, and discover certain patterns that we didn't know about because we don't have a data set that is either very continuous or has that much detail.
Note to a certain set of conspiracy theorists, contrary to popular belief, the Earth's atmosphere is not like a big glass of very thin water. It is not a, you know, there are currents, there are flows, there are thicker spots, thinner spots, which may explain some phenomena that people declare to be indicative of a certain cause. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Well, yeah, but atmosphere is considered a fluid. It's modeled as a fluid. We don't think of it as a fluid because it doesn't feel very thick.
But most fluids aren't thick at the – well, there's pressures, but most fluids aren't thick at the bottom and thin at the top.
Well, the layers – it depends. But, yeah, whatever. So that's why one of the reasons it's so complicated to density. It's not thicker. It's more dense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whatever. What am I looking for? Schematics and words, right, and concepts. So,
Aeolus is the fifth of these NASA's planned Earth Explorer satellites. Others in a series of measured Earth's gravity, geomagnetic field, soil moisture, ocean salinity, and frozen expanses, known as the cryosphere. This is the 50th launch by Arianespace for the European Space Agency. So lots more data.
By the way, it's pronounced Aeolus.
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 A little sidebar here for we bought a boat.
Aeolus.
And
we christened
our boat.
Aeolus.
And the traditional christening ceremony, rechristening ceremony, because when you
had
rename
to appeal
a boat
to Aeolus.
Yes. It was kind of fun. People found it highly amusing.
Well, you know, and who's to know that what there isn't such things. I'm not going to argue with the perceived gods.
Why take the chance?
That's not why take the chance. What harm is there, right?
Yep.
It might be true, in which case, you know, you did the job right. So it's all good.
Yep. Well, you're listening to Boomer Tech Radio. You want to get in touch with us, boomertechradio@gmail.com. We'll do what we can to respond to your inquiries, questions, comments, and other sorts of things. We got one more segment right after this break. The tech news you can use right here every week on Boomer Tech. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Fresh air and new lasting friendships are hard to come by these days. Bikers Against Child Abuse will be escaping the valley for a weekend to ride through the forests near Shasta Lake, and you're invited. Every child deserves a great childhood, and by coming together, we can help prevent and end child abuse. Enjoy a weekend of fun by joining Bikers Against Child Abuse September 7th through the 9th at Lakeshore Inn and RV. The Shasta County Summer Campout will include overnight camping with cabins, a live band, and the scenic Shasta County ride, complete with a barbecue dinner. Festivities begin Friday with a meet and greet. Then, on Saturday, enjoy a ride. Meet up at 9:30, kickstands up at 10, arrive back around 2, and then the party begins. You won't want to miss the Bikers Against Child Abuse 3-day campout the weekend of September 8th. For more information, contact Bikers Against Child Abuse or call Terminator at 209-9473.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well-versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423. Every week, Bummer Tech Radio brings you the goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos, and the tech news you could use. Our theme music, composed and performed by George Wood, called 8-Bit Junkie, used by permission off the PodSafe Music Network. And it's been our theme since we started almost 10 years ago. Now, that's a scary one.
Yeah, that's quite a while. I can't believe we've been doing this that long.
Also, big shout out to Advanced Automotive of Reading, our sponsor. Safe, reliable car cares for their customers and our community.
I have to cycle back to Alan's story about
the... Speaking of cars.
Yeah, speaking of cars, I have to cycle back to Alan's story about the headlights that can put messages on the pavement. I mean, how many times has somebody cut you off on the freeway or done a stupid maneuver in front of you, like squeezing between the truck and in the right-hand lane and you in the left-hand lane in a very dangerous manner? Or you see somebody, you know, zoom up on your tail or whatever. Don't you ever wish you had telepathy to say, you are a jerk on the road?
Yeah.
It's like, or slow down, you moron. Yeah. You know, something unpleasant like that, right? And so I'm wondering if these headlight messages, if you can, if they only have positive messages in a set of predetermined messages that you can put out, or can you actually type your own? And it would be so nice to say, you know, on the pavement, but the guy that's driving by isn't going to see this. So
yeah.
It's not so...
This is a limited thing.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It. I don't see it taking off on everybody's thing. Otherwise, you're going to get rude messages out there. Anyway, it's
road
not going to be
as
nice.
Yeah,
it'll be road rage type stuff. Anyway, I just had to make that social commentary on that sort of thing. And another quick story that I see here is that in 9 to 5 Mac, this is a slice of Apple for this week.
Yeah.
There's these top reasons why people switch from the Android system to iOS. And what's really interesting to me, I had a conversation the other day with a very, very, very tech-savvy individual who is actually designing a system to track firefighting resources out in the field based on off-the-shelf stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And an app for that, and this is actually a fairly hot thing within the industry, there are companies that are trying to develop this sort of thing.
No pun intended.
Yeah, well, that's true. And so we were talking about having company iPhones versus personal Android system phones. And I said, I'd take my Android phone over the iPhone any day. So I think this is funny that all these people are dropping Android and going over to iOS. Well,
for enterprise deployment, and Apple is positioning themselves quite well because you can set these iPhones up in an enterprise environment, and it's a far more secure system. The problem with Android operating systems, particularly in government applications,
right,
where the government used to issue them crackberries,
right,
which were extremely secure, Androids aren't very secure. You don't know what's buried in that operating system. Theoretically, in iOS, you know, Apple's maintaining control. Now, the devices are made in China and who knows. Yeah. In theory, the devices are far more secure.
So what's interesting about this, well, yeah, in theory, but they've been hacked too. The iOS has been hacked too.
Yeah, yeah.
What's interesting is this article is well written because it does consider the movement in both directions. But 47% of the people who switched from Android to iOS said they did so because of better user experience, whereas only 30% that left iOS and moved to Android said the same thing. And that's primarily why I left. I prefer how my iOS functions over, I mean, the Android system functions on my phone versus the Apple iOS on yeah. my company phone. It just is, it's less awkward to me.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now,
this is sort of maybe like being Ford versus Chevy. You know?
I have an iPad in front of me.
Right.
But hanging off my hip, I have a Note 9 Note 8.
Well, and I have an Android tablet. You have an Apple tablet, whatever. They all kind of work the same way. It doesn't really matter. But I just thought that was really interesting. If this had been an article by somebody else, would they have talked about how people are moving from Android to, you know, leaving iOS to go to Android? Instead of this being a 9-to-5 Mac article, leaving Android to go to iOS. But it's a good little article because it does provide some perspective on the movement in both directions.
Now, some people go with iOS because everybody who's anybody has iOS. Everybody who's anybody uses Final Cut. Long story there. Or uses a Mac.
Give it up. That comment about Mac editing came from a clown, so don't worry about it. I told you that. What?
Like
a dozen years ago when that came up.
It's still amazing.
You got to get over that one, dear.
That's the fanboy way of looking at stuff.
It's also a narrow thing. I mean, I think you have to try out both because sometimes one is better or it works better for the way your head works. Or it's good to kind of explore what the difference is. And that's how we actually ended up leaving the iOS phone systems and going over to Android, as we said. Ooh, we like this.
Yeah.
And it depends on which apps you use.
Do you have just one screwdriver in the toolbox?
Exactly.
Some people do.
I
have a lot of screwdrivers in my toolbox.
It might be functional, yeah. So, I mean, to me, go with the one you like. Don't worry about...
Your mileage may vary.
Exactly. One isn't better than the other. Go with the one that works for you.
Now, I've got the Kindle e-reader... which is, the Kindle Fires are, of course, variants on the Android operating system, very specifically written for Amazon. But I do have the Kindle app for my tablet, and I've got I've also got the iBooks. And iBooks is a little bit clunky, but it has its uses because it can open a variety of formats. But I also have the Kindle e-reader. But Amazon has owned the ebook business.
Yes, and the audio.
They own Audible.
Audible, yeah.
And they ruled that with an iron fist.
Yep, and we never tried the Barnes & Noble Nook because we liked the little Fire tablet for reading, e-reading. It's pretty handy. And
but
then
Nook has been a disaster
To some extent. I mean, I think it was okay at first because there really wasn't a lot of competition, but then when the competition came out, it was like, doesn't work.
Remember a couple of CESs ago, e-readers were the big thing. Now, of course, we can read books right there on our device. Now, I will take a book that is on my Note 8 when I'm just traveling around, but when I'm sitting down at home, I dig out my Android 8-inch Tab E. Because it's the size of a book and the print's larger and it's easier to read. And I kind of went to the Tab E from my Kindle Fire.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want to look at comics and things like that or magazine format, I use the iPad.
Right.
Set it in a book presentation, portrait limited.
Yeah, portrait style. Well, around the world, you know, Amazon's a juggernaut. Alibaba's a juggernaut. I mean, these are global type things. But now Walmart has entered the picture.
Wally World!
Yes, in an article in Engadget, Walmart has decided to take on Amazon's ebook and Audible, ebook and audiobook. They've decided to take that Amazon to task on those things.
Mm-hmm. The Kobo e-reader and co-branded apps for iOS and Android, you can purchase e-books on the Amazon website. Now, you can't buy them if you have an iOS app. You can't buy books from Walmart directly through the app because Apple says, no, we want everything to come through iBooks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's the same problem you have with if you have the Kindle app. You have to go buy the book through the website, and then it will migrate into your Kindle app on your device, which is kind of a pain in the butt. But it's their system.
Like like Amazon, you can purchase e-books on Walmart's website. They're listed alongside the hard copy counterparts, such as Amazon does, where you have the Kindle version is available on Amazon. You can get the electronic one right there, or order the hard copy thing. But it's obvious that Walmart wants to challenge Amazon's veracity in the business. So I'm
going to make a call on this. I think it's going to fall. I think it's going to flop.
I'm thinking that you may be right, but we'll see what happens. If they can beat Amazon in price,
I don't think that's going to be enough.
And I don't think that's going to happen either. We'll have to see how it goes. So my inclination is to be with yours that
I'm calling epic fail.
I don't know if it's an epic fail, but it's not going to gain a lot of traction.
Mm-hmm.
Now there will be people who will be devotees or fans or what have you, but I think you're right. Partly because Amazon has this figured out, and there is already a huge readership. It's not unlike Microsoft Bing versus Google.
Exactly. That's the example I'm following. You know, all the resources of Microsoft, the marketing campaign, the hammering you in the face with every legal method, and some may be questionable, of forcing you to use Edge browser,
right,
and the Bing search engine,
mm-hmm,
has been a fail.
Yep. It's still out there. Some people still use it, but it just doesn't gain much traction. In fact, at work, we have Edge, it goes to Bing, and I'm like, oh, geek.
Yeah.
Google.com.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can go there, and I have to switch. Unfortunately, I can't make that my default thing in there because the IT people have forced us into these Microsoft things, but I can still get there.
Edge isn't a verb. Google is a verb.
Well, that's true. You use Bing to Google something.
Oh,
that's the mark of
a successful trade name.
Yeah, like
trade name.
Kleenex or whatever.
It becomes a verb.
Q-tips, you name it. Or it's a universally used phrase for a particular item of something or something like that. Yeah, it turns into a verb or the name, the generic name for a particular kind of item.
We were talking a few minutes ago about Apple fans, and apparently some people are such Apple fans that they really just don't want to pay for them.
But there are other people in Apple that took exception to that. If I have to pay for mine, maybe you have to pay for yours.
Criminals have been highly creative around the world. Of course, we covered the drones that were carrying illicit iPhones into mainland China. Remember that one? Because it's very difficult to get iPhones in China through the normal channels.
Yes.
But there's
a market for these devices, even if you steal them in the U.S. where they're readily available.
The whole thing about an Apple store is that you can walk in and put your hands on the devices,
right,
and touch
try
them,
it out,
feel
yeah.
them, and the geniuses are not allowed to do anything other than stand there and look really smart. But smash and grab and just outright walk in, take something, and walk out thieves have been a problem for Apple stores. And, of course, they all have this policy of don't interfere with a shoplifter because it might turn violent. And the thieves, of course, know that. And if something is worth less than $1,000 in California or $900 or whatever it is, you can walk away with it.
Yeah, it's true.
Without facing felony charges.
So what's interesting is that it seems that Apple stores in California have seemingly been targeted more than most. Maybe there's more Apple stores in California? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Percentage-wise per state, they don't really explain that in this article here in Digital Trends.
Now, at an Apple store in the city of Thousand Oaks, three thieves came into an Apple store, tried to grab a bunch of stuff and run for it. The suspects were all wearing hoodies. They immediately started grabbing thousands of dollars worth of Apple gear from the tables and tried to make their escape. A number of shoppers tackled the suspects to the ground and held them there until the cops arrived. The two ratted out the third, who was picked up, and apparently a couple more inside a getaway car. They're now being held on suspicion of burglary and conspiracy to commit.
It's kind of broad daylight looting, you know. People just like, that doesn't work for me. Well, bless the hearts of the people that tackled him, although that was kind of an incredibly stupid thing to do.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is that the Apple says that the products that are on display in the store are keyed to the store's system so that they turn into a brick.
I know. I don't understand how they can do anything other than sell them as a con where people buy them not knowing that they're buying something that's not going to work.
Or is there like a automotive stripped-down industry where they take the screens and the batteries and have illicit repair shops that cost less than the Apple repair?
Or there's a possibility. Parts and pieces and replace things. So I don't know how that works. They don't explain that part in this article. Because a long time ago, when iPhones first came out, they were being thieved right and left. But when people started putting tracking on it and you had to have some sort of authentication to use it, that put a lid on that pretty readily where, you know, if you got it, it pretty much was a useless item. And you that's why we're always encouraged to put passwords and passcodes and things like that on there. Or even two-stage authentication, which is a pain in the butt for a user, but it does add an element of security.
Now, even the most cautious of us can inadvertently click something wrong and end up buggering up your Windows 10 computer. In some cases, pretty bad.
inadvertently, yes.
You get stability issues. You may be a malware infection. Maybe your system came with just you installed some software and you can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Apple has, excuse me, Apple does too, but Microsoft has a built-in simple method of reinstalling the OS without taking out your settings and data and all that, or going through the process of creating a bootable disk drive.
That is a refreshing feature.
The option is called Reset This PC. You would also, there's two settings on this. The first one is if you're keeping your PC and you just want to kind of get it back to the way it was when you came, when you opened the box, it'll boot you into a fresh installation of Windows and keep your documents and file, but your installed programs will be gone. So you would have to repurchase those and reinstall them, but you can do a reset, and that way if your registry has gotten all buggered up, with various installations, this is going to kind of take you back to square one, so that's a good thing.
This is just kind of an easier way, probably a lot does more cleaning than if you go into your safe mode or whatever and then go back to the latest version that works, which is a little more esoteric on how to do that. When the computer's coming up, what is it, you hit F8 repeatedly or something that can go in and and choose. This sounds like it's a little easier
this
to
is
use.
Built in. Yeah, well, you're talking about getting into the BIOS versus getting into the operating system itself.
Right. So two different things, but kind of sort of accomplish the same things.
Yeah. So the recovery, it's sort of like, well, not Time Machine, that's an Apple thing. But remember the Windows setback or whatever it was called, where you, if you could restore your PC to an earlier setting. If you did an installation of a piece of software and it went horribly wrong, you could step back your PC to an earlier time. Now, that's... that's what you do if you just want to be able to clean up a quirky PC. You can also set it up, your Windows 10, if you're planning on selling it. And this is a big thing. If you want to do a sale of your PC, you can actually erase everything, all your user data, everything, and then have a fresh copy of the operating system come on. Now, it would have to be re-registered. And I think that the new purchaser has to buy a new license because you own that license. You can't sell the license to the operating system. So if you're giving the PC to a trusted relative, let's say a cousin or someone like that, and you know they're not going to use it against you, you can simply erase all your personal data off of it but leave the operating system intact. But it will still, according to the mothership, that PC is still yours. So, use with caution. The refresh tool will save your data. Speaking of data, all of us are being, of course, digitized.
Yeah, right and left in more ways than one. Oh, my goodness.
There are concerns about, we have to balance what some have called the surveillance state with keeping bad actors out of the country.
Right, or bad actors identifying bad actors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whether even if they're legally here.
A new
born and raised here.
The new facial recognition systems that are being installed in U.S. airports have already bagged their first imposter just days after the system was originally installed.
At the Washington Dulles International Airport, which is an interesting airport if you've never flown in and out of there. That's a weird thing. You go on this little bus that comes up to the airplane, and then you get shuttled over the terminal, and the little bus drops you off there. It's a weird airport.
The system identified an imposter attempting to make his way into the U.S. using a fake transport. The 26-year-old man from Sao Paulo, Brazil, presented a French passport. Thanks to the new facial comparison biometric systems, discovered his face didn't match the photo in the passport. In other words, to the casual eye.
Right, it may have worked. Or if a human is making the assumption, it's like the gorilla that goes through that video, you know, in the basketball game, and people don't even see it. They just kind of make the assumption if the hair color is about the same, whatever, whatever. But they pulled him off to the side, and they went through his stuff. And they found his real identification, which was from Republic of Congo, and it was inside of his shoe. And so they got him, and they actually sent him back to Brazil. They said that was the first identity scam that had been detected using the biometric system. It's in operation at 14 airports, and they had, Dulles International first tested the system back in 2015, but didn't fully implement it until fairly recently. So, I guess, bad guys are looking continuously mm-hmm. for ways to enter the U.S. Illegally and, time-honored things of using stolen, genuine documents and trying to put, different pictures in there and all kinds of stuff like that. But I could see some applications for this, but is it an invasion of privacy in some respect? I mean, I can understand using this to match with the passport, but if you're just walking through an airport and you're a criminal and they bag you, is that legal? Yeah. I don't know. It's coming one of these days. I mean, Europe has cameras all over the place
yep.
that look for recognition of folks, so I don't know.
Yes, enemy of the state. Finally, Volkswagen has gotten itself into a lot of trouble over fiddling with environmental laws and trying to cheat their way around getting their diesel emissions because the engine would know if it was hooked up to the diagnostic equipment and change its settings so it would pass. Now Volkswagen is being accused of tampering with the actual weather, the actual environment.
A weather mod has always been one of those things of science fiction and conspiracy theories and whatever, but apparently Volkswagen has actually been doing a bit of weather modification.
The automaker has allegedly been using cannons to change the weather. And the cannons are designed to break apart hail before it forms and rains down on freshly built cars and spoiling the finish, using a highly compressed blast of gas into the sky to do so. So it's kind of reverse cloud seeding.
Yeah, they're bust. Well, what they do is I'm assuming that the shockwave of this cannon breaks the hailstones into much smaller pieces that are not large enough to do significant damage. I suspect that's what they're talking about.
Farmers in the area surrounding the factory have claimed that the hail cannons have caused the drought condition that have damaged their crops, suing the company for $3.7 million. I didn't even know this thing existed. The Volkswagen is not the only entity in the region using the cannons. Other farmers have them to prevent hail from damaging crops. Cannons manufacturer states that the effective radius is around 600 square feet. Cannons fire automatically when certain meteorological conditions are met. Volkswagen has issued a statement saying that they will immediately cease the use of the cannons in automatic mode.
I don't know. There's more to that story. It's always very interesting, these things.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
Relocate your plant so you don't have to fail.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school,
Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.